In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We've been looking at Jesus as the Good Shepherd. We've been looking at Jesus as the Good Shepherd. He is the Good Shepherd. He goes before the sheep that I know. He knows the names of each sheep. Bah! Oh yes, he knows my name. And I follow him by the grace of God. It's always the grace of God that gives us the ability to follow Jesus. We do not do it on our own. We need that grace that comes from Calvary, that grace that comes from the empty tomb, that grace that wants to give our whole life to Jesus Christ. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus, precious Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. My whole life is in him. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. I'm looking at John 10, verse 18. I have power to lay my life down, take it up again in the resurrection. I have received this command from my Father. Oh yes, it was the Father's will that Jesus would die for us. It is the will of Jesus that he would die for us, but also that he would leave death and be raised from the dead. Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is out of his mind. Why do we listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of a man born blind? No. He is the Lord. And we need to give our life to him. As I said, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, precious Savior. I surrender all. Surrender is a word that makes us feel that we give everything to him. All of our troubles, all of our good, all of our bad, all of our monies, all of our homes, everything. We give them to Jesus, and he uses them. And he does what he needs to do. Verse 22. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. Dedication of the temple. It's a winter feast. It's called Hanukkah. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are Messiah, tell us plainly. What he's told them. They don't believe it. Jesus answered, I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. Oh, yes. Do you belong to the sheep of the shepherd? I love that 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you believe that? That only goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life if he is your shepherd? And you know what? He could bring good out of everything that's bad. Out of all the pain that we experience, he brings good out of it. Romans 8:28 says, to those who love God and are called to his purpose, all things work together for the good. Do you know that today? Not some things, but all things work together for the good. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Do you know the voice of the shepherd? Do you know the voice of the shepherd? You don't want to follow anyone else but Jesus. To know the voice of the shepherd, he speaks in our heads. Oh yes, I know the voice of the shepherd. I also know the voice of the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. He gives us eternal life at baptism and through faith, and no one will perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one can snatch you out of the hand of Jesus. No one. Remember that they're nail prints on his hands. No one can snatch you out of the hand of Jesus. What my Father has given me is greater than all else. And no one can snatch me out of the Father's hand. Do you know that today? No trouble, no death, no evil can snatch us out of the hand of God, of the hand of Jesus, who is the Lord. The Father and I are one. Oh my, this is going to really get them. Jews took up stones again to stone Jesus. Jesus replied, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me? All the works that Jesus shows us causes us to worship the Lord Jesus. Every work that Jesus does causes us to worship the Lord Jesus. The Jews answered, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, though only a human being, are making yourself God. Well, I tell you, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh yes, the Word made flesh is Jesus, true God and true man. Jesus answered, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods, with a small g? If those to whom the Word of God came were called gods, with a small g, and the scripture cannot be annulled, can you say that the one whom the Father has sent and sanctified and sent into the world is blaspheming because I said, I am God's son? There's no blasphemy. He's just telling the truth. The word of God is truth, that he is the Son of God, the only Son of God. The rest of us are children of God by adoption, by the blood of the Lamb. If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But I do them, even though you do not believe me, the works of the Father. He opened the eyes of the blind. And I tell you, that blind man began to follow Jesus. Every miracle leads us to Jesus. Believe the works so that they may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Then they tried to arrest Jesus again, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to a place where John had been baptizing earlier, and he remained there. Many came to him, and they were saying, John performed no sign, but everything that John has said about this man was true. And many believed in Jesus there. I tell you, do you believe in Jesus? Have you given him your life? Have you made him your Savior and your Lord? Do you know that through baptism we died with Christ? Do you know that we need to have faith now? Not only baptism, but faith and baptism. We need to give our lives to Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the only Son of the Father. He is the Father's only Son. The rest of us are children of God through adoption, through the blood of Jesus. Chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary is the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love, he loves Lazarus, is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. What's going to happen? Lazarus is going to be buried. He's going to be in the tomb for 4 days. On the fourth day, the body starts to corrupt in the Holy Land. That's why Martha says, he stinketh. I tell you, Jesus knows the power of death and resurrection. He has the power to raise people from the dead. Oh yes, Jesus has that power. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Why? That the glory of God would be revealed. That the glory of God would be revealed, yes. Then after that, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to Jesus, Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you. Are you going to Judea again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? So this is spring. Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of the world. Do you know that Jesus is the light of the world? Do you know that he is the Messiah? Do you know that he is truly a man and truly God? Do you know that he was sent by the Father, sent for you and sent for me? He was sent by the Father. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. We remember when Judas left the Last Supper. The Last Supper, it was night. The devil had grasped Judas. It was night. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to Jesus, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will get better. He will be all right. Jesus, however, did not talk about his being asleep, but about his death. But they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. My Lord, he has the power not only of the living, he has the power over the dead. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Maybe he's being a little sarcastic, because in Judea they were trying to what? Stone Jesus. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been already dead in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And Jesus used to go to Bethany to be with his friends Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him. That's Martha. She does things like a flibbertigibbet. She runs to meet Jesus, not Mary. Mary doesn't run to see Jesus until she is called. Yes, she's the one that sits at Jesus' feet, and Jesus said she has chosen the better part. While Mary stayed at home, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Martha has faith. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to Jesus, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Oh yes, because we will be with God. We'll be with God. No longer will we be on the earth. We never die once we're in heavenly places. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." This is Martha saying the same thing that Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And for your part I say, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Oh yes, on the rock of confession and on the rock that is Peter. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and he is calling you." Mary does not run to meet the Lord until the Lord calls for her. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet, just like in the 10th chapter of Luke, and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had also been weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Imagine. Not only did Jesus know that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he weeps over Lazarus. He weeps over Mary and Martha. He wept. And I tell you, it's a good thing for us to weep before Jesus. That's a gift, to weep before Jesus. People have said, "I'm afraid to weep because I'm afraid I won't stop." You'll stop. It's a gift to weep before Jesus, to weep over our sins by the grace of God before we go to confession. See how he loved him. But some of them said, could he not who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already he is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." I said, on the fourth day, the body corrupts, but Jesus is the Lord. And he knows what he's going to do. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. I tell you, Jesus raises us from the death of sin. Jesus raises up from the death of sin. Jesus said to Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up toward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for their sake, the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is interesting because Jesus doesn't unbind him. He raises him from the dead, but he tells the crowd to unbind Lazarus. I tell you, many times Jesus did not heal people like the man at the beautiful gate. Jesus went by that beautiful gate many times, and the man who was crippled saw Jesus. He didn't heal that man. He waited for Peter and John to heal that man. And again, to heal a man or a woman means to give our life to Jesus. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come out with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. What did he do? He raised Lazarus from the dead. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the council and said, "What are we to do? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy our temple and our nation." I tell you, give up Jesus and your temple is going to be destroyed in the year 70. Give up Jesus. I tell you, we are not to give him up. We are to follow him. He's the good shepherd. We are to hear his voice. "My sheep know my voice and they follow me." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. You do not understand that it is better for you to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed." He did not say this on his own, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was about to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but to gather into one the dispersed children of God. So from that day on, they planned to put Jesus to death. Jesus, therefore, no longer walked about openly among the Jews, but went from there to a town called Ephraim in the region near the wilderness, and he remained there with his disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews, was near, and many went up from the country of Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and were asking one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? Surely he will not come to the festival, will he?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who knew where Jesus was should let them know, so that they might arrest him. They weren't only going to arrest him, they're going to kill him. But again, you give up Jesus and your temple's going to be destroyed in the year 70. We do not want to give up Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our shepherd. He is God. He is man. He is sent by the Father. We do not want to give up Jesus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Do you know Jesus to be the resurrection and the life? Have you given him your life? Have you given him your turmoil? It's time to do it. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.